God's Word comes to us this morning for the 19th chapter of Luke. Luke, at the 19th chapter, be reading the first 10 verses. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Maybe it was the sycamore tree that did it. Maybe even before Jesus walked by, Zacchaeus looked at where he was and wondered how it had all come to this. What was it that had quite literally chased him up a tree? His nice Armani tunic had chlorophyll stains on it from the sycamore leaves he'd smushed up against. He'd scuffed his Bruno Mali sandals and had chipped one of the nicely manicured fingernails on his left hand. And now there he was, hunched up in that tree like some schoolboy hiding from the teacher. This was ridiculous. What was a man of his social standing doing crouched in that silly position? I mean, cluttering up a tree like that, that is not one of the seven habits of highly effective people. Today, it would be like seeing Donald Trump straddling and hanging off a light pole in New York City to watch the St. Patrick's Day parade. This was no place for a man like Zacchaeus. In fact, tree climbing like that was something only a desperate sort of a person would do. Somebody who sensed deep down that he had gained the whole world but forfeited his soul. Somebody who knew deep in his heart that he had a yearning that not all the shekels in the Roman Empire could buy off. You know, in the familiar little Sunday school song about this story, we are told that Zacchaeus climbed up that sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see, but we actually have no evidence that Zacchaeus' curiosity toward Jesus had anything to do with his regard for Jesus as a Savior or a Lord. He wanted to see who Jesus was. That's all the text says. That's pretty generic. Zacchaeus may just have been a bit curious, but it was what was behind the curiosity that bothered him. Still, there he was in a position that he was not at all eager to have his fellow Jerichoites witness. See, my hunch is that he was hiding up in that tree. He wasn't sitting there with his legs dangling inelegantly from beneath his tunic, holding up some hand-painted "Welcome Jesus" sign. Instead, Zacchaeus was likely well ensconced up in the foliage of the tree, peering out from behind the leaves and hoping that as the parade passed by, everybody would be too preoccupied to see him up there. He was hiding in that tree. Just maybe he was hiding from himself. And that's why he couldn't stop wondering how it had all come to this. And probably we all have moments like that. For Zacchaeus, it was being up a tree. For the prodigal son, it was slopping hogs and seriously considering the slop for his own breakfast. For a certain Samaritan woman at a well, it was a moment in the noonday sun when she realized just how thirsty she'd been all along. For a man named Saul, it was getting knocked flat on his back and hearing someone call out, "Saul, Saul, why?" It's the moment we come to ourselves. We blink our eyes a time or two and we see as if for the first time some things that have been true about our life for a really long time, but that we are only just now starting to recognize as the troubling signs they are. It is the moment of truth. But make no mistake, such moments of truth are moments of grace. It's a grace to know the truth. And at the end of the day, truth is grace, because as for Zacchaeus, so for us, it is only by grace that we can be saved. Sitting up there in that ridiculous tree, Zacchaeus was starting to see that for himself, even though he could hardly stand to see himself in that position. He sure hoped no one else would notice. And so when the parade stops, when Jesus looks up at him, and when the rest of the crowd follows suit, I imagine Zacchaeus' first reaction was a deep gulp and then a rush of blood to his face. He must have felt like the seventh grade boy getting caught trying to peek into the window to the girls' locker room. But this Jesus speaks kindly to him and says that it is his house where Jesus has to stay that day. Now, Luke tells us that Zacchaeus fairly tumbled out of the tree and welcomed Jesus with joy. Now, the NIV says that Zacchaeus welcomed him gladly, but that's a really weak rendering for the word that does mean joy. Zacchaeus found joy. Something about the very presence of Jesus changed that sawed-off little crook. Grace came, joy followed, and Zacchaeus knew that nothing would ever be the same again. It was easy for Zacchaeus to see what grace had done for him. And maybe it's easy for all of us to see that the hour we first believed, as the old song has it. But then over time, we forget. We lose sight of the fact that it's all grace, and we start to grade ourselves on the curve. We start to think that the reason God loves us is not because his grace has blotted out all our sins, but because, morally speaking, we're just so darn cute. We're irresistible. We're better than other people. We go to church. We study theology. We do kingdom work all the time. We pray. We read the Bible. Why, if Jesus were to visit our town, we'd be at the head of the pack to greet him. And we just know that Jesus would be glad to see us. You wouldn't find us hiding up in any old trees. No, sir, we are Jesus kind of people to begin with. Let the losers climb the trees. But as for us, oh dear. Perhaps as we approach Reformation Day again this coming Sunday, we need our own moment of truth through that lyric Reformation message of salvation by grace alone. You know, I'm in my sixth year of teaching here, and so I now know the truth of something John Rotman told me when I first got here. Students often lament that it's hard to find page four stories of grace in the world. And let's just admit that it is a challenge to find really good stories for the sermon's grace in the world focus. But sometimes I wonder, is part of our struggle that we fail to realize that the entirety of our lives is grace, grace, grace to begin with? Might we more easily spy instances of grace if we recognize that everything is grace to begin with? Maybe. But the fact of the matter is that it is by grace that we have been saved, not by works. Zacchaeus did not receive a grace the rest of us don't need. Zacchaeus didn't get any extra doses of grace. He didn't need the grace 100 milligram super tablet while the rest of us can get by with a 25 milligram tab. No, grace is grace. Salvation came to Zacchaeus' house that day for the same reason it comes to any of our houses. It's just because God's in the grace business. That's his way of being. And by that grace, we can maybe come to ourselves now and then, especially when we are patting ourselves on the back for being such good Christians. Oh, there can be a lot of self-satisfaction in being good little boys and girls for Jesus. There's self-satisfaction in that, but no joy. Zacchaeus received the Lord with joy. Grace does that. It's the best joy generator ever. But it doesn't have to stop the moment we first experience grace. When we know grace's abiding presence in our hearts, joy just busts out all over. But that's no surprise. Because all you Greek scholars know that the word for joy in verse 6 is very nearly the same word for grace in Greek. Grace, joy, rejoicing, gracious, joyful, they're all in the same neighborhood because they all weave in and through one another in one great, big, glorious gospel tapestry. Now in his book, Setting Words on Fire, Paul Scott Wilson relates the true story told by a fellow preacher, Hugh Reed. And to paraphrase Reverend Reed, one day a man named Alan came to Reverend Reed's office asking to be baptized. Now, Alan had been a child of the me decade, and so he had left home and family behind to go find himself, and of course, he lost himself, becoming a stranger to himself, trapped in Vancouver in a world of drugs. Well, one night, Alan managed to get off the streets in one of the shelters. He crashed into the bunk, staring up at the ceiling, listening to the groans, and trying not to be overcome by the odors coming from the men in the other bunks. He didn't even know where he was. He didn't know who he was, but he wanted it all to be over. And so he thought about how he might take his own life. He was startled out of his thoughts when someone called out a name from another world. "Is Alan Roberts here?" That had been his name once, though he hadn't heard it for a long time. He hardly knew Alan Roberts anymore. It couldn't be him being called. But the caller persisted. "Is there anybody here named Alan Roberts?" Well, no one else answered, and so Alan took a risk. "Well, I'm Alan Roberts, or I used to be. Your mother's on the phone." My mother? No, you have to be making a mistake. I don't know where I am. How could my mother know where I am?" "Well, if you're Alan Roberts, your mother's on the phone." And so he went out to the desk and he picked up the receiver. "Alan?" It was his mother. "Alan, it's time for you to come home." "Mom, I don't know where I am. I have no money. You don't know what I'm like anymore. I can't come home." "Alan, it's time for you to come home. There's a Salvation Army officer coming to you with a plane ticket. He's going to bring you to the airport and get you home." Now, she hadn't known where he was. She had just every single night for months called every shelter she could find until she located him. And so he went home. And supported and loved by his mother and influenced and inspired by the faith that had sustained his mother's hope and love, Alan began attending church and one day showed up at Reverend Reed's office asking to be baptized. "He didn't find his own way to my office," Reverend Reed writes. "A path not of his own making was made for him by the love that found him, by the love that knew him better than he knew himself, by the love that invited him to follow me." Maybe it was the sycamore tree that did it. Maybe sitting up there in that ridiculous position that day, wondering how it had come to this, the thought occurred to Zacchaeus, "I am lost." And just then a voice said, "Zacchaeus," and somehow he just knew. He'd been found.